We are now in the Thanksgiving season, so my message today is rejoice and give thanks. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, God's power is evidenced in our lives, not only in patience and long-suffering, but also in our joyfulness. When circumstances are difficult, we should exhibit joyful patience. And when people are hard to live with, we should reveal joyful long-suffering. There is a kind of patience that endures but does not enjoy. We often use the words joy and happiness interchangeably, but distinction should be made between them. Happiness often depends on happenings, good things happening. If circumstances are encouraging and people are kind, then we are happy. But joy is not dependent on circumstances or people. The most joyful epistle Paul wrote was the book of Philippians, and he wrote it from jail as he faced the possibility of being martyred for his faith. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, Philippians 1, verse 4, it says, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. And then in verse 16 and 18, it says, the one preach Christ, of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And then verse 18, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice. And then chapter 2, verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then chapter 2, verse 17 says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, we read, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then chapter 4, verse 10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished. Again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, only God's Spirit working within us can give us joy in the midst of problem circumstances and problem people. In Galatians chapter 5, 22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love and joy. Joy is not something that we ourselves work up. It is something the Holy Spirit himself works in us. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, notice it said joy in the Holy Spirit, or joy which has its source from the Holy Spirit. It is not God's will to give in for us to give in to the problems around us and lose both the joy and the victory. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Now, a fourth evidence of God's power is thanksgiving, is being thankful in our lives. Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit will be joyful and thankful. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, we read this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when we lose our joy, we start complaining and becoming critical. And the Colossian epistle is filled with thanksgiving. In Colossians 1:3, we read, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And then 1 verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And then chapter 2, verse 7, we read, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then notice chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. We read this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now notice, "giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Thanksgiving is an evidence of spiritual growth in our lives and in our Bible study. And in chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Our prayers should always include thanksgiving. The Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Word of God and watching in prayer will prove it by his attitude of appreciation and thanksgiving to God. As sinful beings, it is not natural for us to be filled with thanksgiving, and so we need God's power to express thanksgiving. Now remember what James said in James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good gift comes from God. He is the source, the support, and the end of all things. In fact, the very breath of our mouths is the free gift from God. Years ago, Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, had a life-saving squad that assisted passengers on the Lake Michigan boats. On September 8, 1960, a passenger boat, the Lady Elgin, floundered near Evanston, and a ministerial student, Edward Spencer, personally rescued 17 persons off of that boat. The exertion of that day permanently damaged his health, and he was unable to train for the ministry. When he died some years later, it was noted that not one of the 17 persons he had saved ever came to thank him. Thankfulness is the opposite of selfishness. The selfish person says, "I deserve what comes to me. Other people ought to make me happy." The selfish husband says, "I'm the head of the home. I deserve respect and obedience from everybody in the home." And the selfish mother says, "I worked long, hard hours around the house. I deserve to be treated with love and kindness." And the selfish parent says, "We are your parents. We deserve your honor and obedience." And the selfish employer says, "I'm your boss and deserve hard work and obedience from you." And the selfish employee says, "I work hard for the company. I deserve to be treated fairly." Now, it is true that they deserve that, but that's not something we should demand. If we demand it, then that's a sign of we're being selfish. But the mature Christian realizes that life is a gift from God, and that the blessings of life come only from God's bountiful hand. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." The one blessing that ought to move us constantly to thanksgiving is that God has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. And that word "meet" is not a word that we use, but it means qualified. God has qualified us. God has qualified the person who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. He has qualified us for heaven. And while we are waiting for Christ to return and take us to heaven, we enjoy our share of the spiritual inheritance that we have in Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, Ephesians 1, verse 11, we read, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." And then in verses 18 and 19 we read, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, in the Old Testament, God's people had an earthly inheritance, and that was the land of Canaan. And Christians today have a spiritual inheritance in Christ. Canaan is not a picture of heaven, for there will be no battles or defeats in heaven. Canaan is a picture of our present inheritance in Christ. We must claim our inheritance by faith as we step out on the promises of God. Day by day, we must claim our blessings, and this makes us even more thankful to the Lord. Now, what tremendous things Paul prayed for, and we need spiritual intelligence if we are going to live to please God as the Apostle Paul did. We also need practical obedience in our walk and our work. But the result of all this is spiritual power in the inner man or within ourselves. Power that leads to joyful patience and long-suffering with joy and thanksgiving. Yes, God gives us the strength and the ability and the power to be patient and joyous and thankful people. Are these things true in our lives? Are we walking? Do we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? And then are we walking close to Him, in fellowship with Him? And are we enjoying peace and joy? And are we thankful people, regardless of what kind of circumstances we live in? Are we a people that are thankful for what we have in the Lord and what we have in the future, as we have the promise that the Lord is going to take us to heaven one day? I trust that this is all true in your life as well as mine. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you that he loved us so much that he came to earth to die on the cross in order that it might be possible for us to place our faith in him and become one of your children and a child of God. And I thank you, Father, that we have the promise that one day Jesus is coming again and he's going to take us home to heaven. But until then, I pray that we might be a very joyful and thankful people, regardless of what kind of circumstances we go through. I pray that others might be able to see that we are joyful and that regardless of the circumstances, we are thankful for what God has done for us and in us. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.